join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 122. I'm Neil O'Carroll. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, that means nothing to me. I don't know why Neil O'Carroll is. That could be anything. I don't even know what default language he's speaking in. It sounds like English, but as far as I know, he could be talking some other language, and the words could just happen to sound like English words. And by some random coincidence, they could make sense in my language. For all I know, he could be talking about the Bank of England's policy on interest rates in his own language. I suppose, in a way, if you could control those types of coincidences, you could make two different podcasts at the same time. I could be making Into Your Head in English, and at the same time, the same words could be meaning something else in another language, and I could be making a weekly podcast about cat food in another language. Now, I don't know, if I was making a show about cat food, I think I'd want to make it in English, because I assume the English speaking world has the highest population of domestic cat owners, or at least domestic cat owners who buy cat food in stores. The third world, for example, where they mostly don't speak English, any cat owners they have there are probably making their own cat food, doing it the proper way, boiling up some oats in a pot for 8 hours on a Sunday morning, and making proper homemade cat food for their cats. But of course, here in the Western world, we're all speaking English, and we're all buying pre-packaged cat food, because we've been guilted into buying special premium cat food by these advertisements to show a hungry cat looking for food and not being satiated by the dead zebra that he's caught, because there aren't any dead zebras available in suburbia. There's no dead zebras in suburbia whatsoever, and of course we've breeded our cats now to be so small that they're not able to trap and hunt down and eat live zebra in the old days, of course, before we domesticated the cats. They used to be big enough to go around and hunt wherever they could down. They'd hunt down a zebra or an elephant and rip it open and eat its heart and eat its innards, and then make a fur coat out of the remaining bits of the dead zebra, and then the cat would go off about its business. Little did it know that its great grandchildren would be no bigger than some of the mice that they catch, and would live indoors and sleep in baskets, and be known as the humble domesticated cat. But there you go, things change, and so do cats. It hasn't been brought to my attention, but it has come to my attention. That's not to say that Ish is a living creature who has somehow travelled to me. No, Ish is just a fact, and the fact has come to my attention somehow. Maybe, I don't know, maybe does the universe move facts around? Maybe it does. There are books that say that's the case. There's a book called The Secret that says you can basically facts and everything else in the universe are just pieces of energy that shift around all the time in response to your thoughts. Maybe that's what's happening. So when I say that it's come to my attention, that may be literally the case. The energy might have moved through the universe. It might have come from, for example, from Pluto. Of course, Pluto isn't officially a planet anymore. It's a planetoid or something. It's been decided it's not big enough to be a planet, but that's not to say that there isn't any energy out there. Humankind has never even travelled as far as Pluto, so if there is any, even a small amount of energy out there, it hasn't been mined by humans, and down. We haven't turned it into petrol or something, so it's still there. No doubt we'll get to it eventually, if we ever get past the idea that it's not a real planet and manage to put that aside and show a little bit of respect. Anyway, it's come to my attention that my mug of coffee is empty and I've drunk it all, so I've run out of coffee, so that's unfortunate.
Hello, I'm Professor S. Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme. Now, don't get me wrong, I have nothing but respect for the fine people who work in the cat food industry. Absolutely nothing at all. But it has to be said that there's something hypocritical about people who purport to be doing everything within their powers to advance the health and status of cats. Yet, at the same time, they're killing innocent little fishies, including, presumably, catfish, and chopping them up to be put into cans. As far as I'm concerned, this is all a crock of shit. Several years ago, I, for a short time, worked in one of those factories, just like the one where they make the cat food. Admittedly, we were assembling and packing Christmas trees, which did not come anywhere near the animal food chain until about 10 years after their manufacture, when they finally reached the landfill next door to the cat food company. But that's not the point. If you think that that is the point, then you are sadly mistaken. You have allowed yourself to become distracted and perfused, and you should be ashamed of yourself for losing control of your faculties in such a way. In doing so, you have lost much of the respect and benefit of the doubt which I had previously allocated to you in my mind. You fucking idiot. Anyway, two cats walk into a sandwich bar. One of the cats notices the presence of a catfish sandwich on the menu and immediately walks out in disgust. He rather kindly spares the other cat the knowledge of its presence, which is fortunate because the other cat is rather sensitive and would probably have received quite a shock were he to see something like that. Anyway, in the first cat's absence, the second cat orders a couple of BLTs and a side order of that stuff that looks like cat's vomit, which I can never remember the name of, but it's the white messy stuff that you get with salads. What the cat doesn't know is that in some of the less reputable sandwich bars, the similarity to cat's vomit is not entirely coincidental. Anyway, 10 minutes later, both of the cats are sitting on a wall enjoying their lunch. The first cat has forgotten about the unfortunate menu item and is tucking into his sandwich. He lifts up the cardboard lid and peeps into the foil box containing the white salad-y stuff and recognizes yesterday's dinner. Fortunately, yesterday's dinner was curry chicken and chips, a particular favorite, so the first cat relishes the opportunity of reliving a previous supper, although he does carry quite an amount of resentment at having to pay for it all over again. He only hopes that some went into the re-preparation of his recycled dish, in which case he would feel a little less ripped off. At this point, I feel I should address my regular listeners who no doubt are a little surprised. They're good people, and they're used to cute little lectures about kittens and flowery stuff. And now they find that I have returned to talk about cat's vomit, and resort to crude, unnecessary words like shit and crap face. Oh, wait a minute, I haven't used that one yet. Well, anyway, I understand how you all feel, but I have to skip the next paragraph because this lecture was originally written as an article and published in an entirely different context. Anyway, I always like to have a piece of everything that I see. I think it's my natural instincts kicking in. Just yesterday, my cat, Chili, was eating a dead mouse, and I couldn't help myself. I jumped onto the rug, and before I knew it, I'd taken a huge bite of fur out of Chili's ass. Chili was really pissed. He'd been planning on entering his ass in the local cute cat competition, but now that he had a huge hole in his fur that made him look more like a tired old donkey than a cat, all he was good for was lugging coals home from the shop. That might have been fine 20 years ago, but we've got central heating now, and there's no point filling up the whole damn house with filthy coal and soot, unless one of the cats is going to get pregnant and develop an insatiable appetite for coal, as I believe some women do. Personally, I wouldn't ever have a female in the house. They pee all over the place, and you have to keep taking them to the vet for jabs and things. Anywho, I have been Professor S. Joanne O'Carroll for the Into Your Head Adult Learning Programme.
Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, why don't you get up off your arse and go and make yourself some more coffee and put it into the aforementioned mug, or any other receptacle for that matter, because if you had another receptacle with coffee in it, it wouldn't matter so much that this receptacle was empty. In fact, you probably wouldn't have brought her up if that was the case. Well, you don't know me as well as you think you do. If I had a full mug of coffee here that I've just brewed, and I had an empty mug of coffee that I'd brewed earlier, I would still mention the empty one. And it's not me being negative, it's not me calling a half-empty glass empty, it's me calling an empty mug of coffee empty, in the interests of truthfulness and openness, and for something to talk about. It's not that I'm particularly depressed by the emptiness of the mug of coffee. It's just that I don't understand why it's still called a mug of coffee when it's empty. It's not a mug of coffee. It's a mug of nothing. There's nothing in the mug. Well, I suppose in the walls of the mug there is ceramic material, but that's just the mug itself. If you have a container and the container is there, that doesn't mean that it's a full container. It can still be an empty container. It doesn't contain the stuff that it's made up of. It's just made up of the stuff that it's made up of. You wouldn't expect that. You have to be careful not to mix up the contents of a container with the makeup of the container. Even though if you think about it, it's all really just electrons and atoms moving around. But somehow the atoms in the coffee don't get mixed up with the atoms in the walls of the mug. Thankfully for that, because we'd probably get poisoned if that was the case. I don't want to be getting food poisoning from a ceramic mug, because the ceramicness has somehow gotten into the coffee. It would probably taste bad anyway. Although there's probably some sort of fancy capo mugocino available in some upmarket coffee shop now that's made of ceramic stone, or whatever you call it. I don't know, it's ceramic or stone. It's probably not, it's probably a mug. But it's probably made out of stones or sand or some crap like that, or grasses. There's probably some guy sitting in a factory somewhere pumping out ceramic mugs, and he's probably waiting for any day now for his job to be replaced by a machine. They're just working on the machine now. They've run out of the people who, unfortunately, the people who are able to make these machines are no longer in the business, because they got replaced by machines, and everyone's panicked because they saw Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, on television last night, and they've just realised the machines are taking over the coffee industry. And I'll tell you, if they get hold of our coffee, then they've got us by the balls, or not the balls in the case of women, which is 50% of the population, but since men have, every man in the world has two of them, then there's enough to go around. There's at least one each. If you take it that 50% of the population are men, and each man has two of these items, then there's enough. There's one for every person on the planet, with the odd exception of a few medical oddities. Anyway, there's one each. That's why we've got two and women have none. It's just that we carry the balls and the men carry the babies. That's you're thinking there. Well, for one thing, you're thinking he meant to say women, not men. That was a typo. Well, a spoken typo. I accidentally typed my vocal cords accidentally went astray, and I pressed the wrong vocal cords and the wrong word came out somehow. So that's one of the things that you're thinking. But the other thing you're thinking is that the last few shows have been sadly lacking in cat songs. Now, there's a reason for that. I've been recording while my wife is in bed, and I don't want to wake her up with my banjo and my guitar. But I've got a newfangled thing now where I have a synthesized piano on my iTelephone, and I think that might come in useful somehow. So I'll see if I can set this up. Where are we? Well, we're here. We're here in front of the computer and into your head studio. But that's not what I meant to ask. I was just... never mind. Anyway, here we go. Let's see if this works. Now, I assume you can hear that. So here goes, here's the cat song. Oh, I've got an ivory piano. Except there's no guilt associated with it because it's synthesized ivory on my touchscreen portable telephone device. So it's all fine. There's nothing to worry about whatsoever. It's not like it's made out of, I don't know, a cat's whiskers or a cat's... A cat's toenails. You're not allowed to cut off a cat's toenails in Ireland anyway, it's against the law. They only do that in America. We don't take off our cat's toenails and have them declawed. So if I did, it would be an extra worry, because it would mean that I was breaking the law, or that my vet was, or that I was going to bring my cats to a rather dodgy vet, which I'm not doing, so... no need to worry about it whatsoever. I can't really hear this piano thing. I've made some excellent tunes on it while I've got the headphone stuck in my ear. I've got the headphone stuck up to my headset now, so you can hear it instead of me. And I suspect that what's coming out of it has no musical value whatsoever. So I'll call it jazz. That's what he'll do. So there you go. I'm going to have to stop playing now because I need this hand to press pause. Not the cat's pause, the pause button on my screen. Now, this is an afterlude to show number 122. Which is too short. It's 17 minutes and 50 seconds long, 57 seconds long, and that's just not long enough as far as I'm concerned. You have to have some length in these audio recordings, otherwise it becomes rather one-dimensional. You just have height and no width or length, and then you can't even see the audio, never mind hear it, because it's just one nano-millisecond of audio. And while that may be convenient for the fast moving generation who has a long day, it's not a show, as far as I'm concerned. It's just not. It might as well be one of those videos on YouTube that's 2.5 seconds long, and you watch it and then you spend 8 hours reading the comments and typing swear words in and abusing whoever made it, and then you go away and you forget what the video was about. I'm not having that. That's why I don't make videos. The images are a distraction from the audio, and I don't want you distracted from the audio. It's bad enough that you're listening to this somewhere on your headphones and you're looking at everything around you. You're surrounded by 360 degrees of sky and horizon and earth. What are we up to now? 19 and a half minutes, that'll do.
Email us at studio@intoyourhead.com.
Stalker's Forum Guestbook, intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system.
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.